Good morning, church. Don't you hate it when something lets you down? My alarm clock didn't go off this morning. Couldn't be my fault, could it? I looked at it last night. Yep, Sunday alarm, 6:40. Okay. But apparently, it didn't know I meant this Sunday. Okay. Well, I'm sure that's how the Lord feels when we kind of let him down, too. So today, this covenant renewal, our scriptures from 2 Kings, the story of King Josiah. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So a covenant is a promise between two or more parties to perform certain actions. And sometimes there are conditions on one or all of the parties. Throughout Scripture, God established covenants with his chosen ones, and at times they did have conditions, and often those covenants needed renewal as a demonstration of obedience and commitment on the part of the first party. So covenant renewal brought strengthening of faith and a re-energized relationship between God and his people. In the Old Testament, we find a poignant story of covenant renewal, and it was in the 9th century before Christ. It was after King David died and after King Solomon had been the king of Israel. And at that point, the kingdom was divided into Israel and Judah. For centuries, most of the kings of both kingdoms did not obey God. Most did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And you'll read all about it in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. But Josiah, who became king of Judah in 640 BC, when he was only 8 years old, was a godly king. Then about 10 years into his reign, he directed the priests to have the Temple of Jerusalem restored and rebuilt. And during the process, the law of the Lord was rediscovered. And King Josiah, at that time 26 years old, had the scrolls read to him. Upon hearing it, the king tore his robes in a demonstration of sorrow, repentance, and mourning, exclaiming, "Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book." That's from 2 Kings 22:13. Well, King Josiah then removed all the evil priests, the mediums, and false prophets from his kingdom. He had torn down all the idols, the wooden images, and altars from all across the kingdom. And then, Scripture says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and kept the Mosaic law. For as long as Josiah reigned, the people also kept the laws. They kept covenant because it had been reestablished and renewed. Describing this, the Bible says, "Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might." That phrase should sound familiar because in the new covenant, we are given the great and first commandment, this way when Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind," from Matthew 22, verse 37. Like Josiah, when we come to covenant, we'll be quickened in heart, mind, and soul to first an emotional response and then to decisive action. And like Josiah, we'll come to do what is right, remain obedient, and keep covenant with the Lord. You see, King Josiah is proof that you and I can remain faithful to God throughout our life. Despite what has happened previously, you can choose to be the kind of person Josiah was. It doesn't matter who came before or after. The decision is up to you to follow God with all your heart and be committed to Him. Even if none go with you, and you are the only one, you still have God's oath and promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," Hebrews 13:5. And that, my friend, is the part of the new covenant that our Father always keeps. And what does He expect in return from His children? Well, God is perfectly aware that we are human and we have a sinful nature. He doesn't love us any less for that. In fact, He loves us in spite of it. He knows that we have a tendency to stray, to kind of not keep our promises. He isn't angry with us for that. And when we fall into temptation, He expects that, and He forgives us. His only concern is that the sin won't keep us distant from Him. Even when we miss the mark and we feel too ashamed to face Him, God cares only that we do return to His loving care. Just like the prodigal son, he had to let go of his pride and return to his Father in humility. Covenant renewal is like that. It's our recommitment to love, honor, and obey our Father in response to His unchanging nature and His desire for a relationship with us. John Wesley initiated covenant renewal as a Methodist tradition, as a way to begin the year with self-examination, with confession, and recommitting one's life to God's service. Here are the words that John Wesley wrote about covenant renewal. "You are advised to make this covenant not only in your heart, but in word. But not only in word, but in writing. Therefore, with all reverence, lay the service before the Lord as your act and deed. And when you have done this, sign it. And this keep as a reminder of the holy agreement between God and you, that you may remember it between doubts and temptations." Well, you can see that the practice of covenant renewal was significant to the founders of our faith, reaffirming a believer's dedication to Christ and discipleship, focusing on total surrender and ongoing growth in holiness. But it isn't just an outdated Puritan practice or an old-fashioned idea. The concept of covenant is significant all through Scripture. In fact, when we use the word covenant, we could instead use the word testament. Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. Do you know, while the Old Covenant was still in effect, the New Covenant was alluded to by the Old Testament prophets, Moses, Hosea, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. In Jeremiah 31, God promised a new covenant with Israel, even though they had repeatedly violated the terms and conditions of all the previous covenants. But God promised this one would be different because the hearts of the people would be changed, so they would want to be faithful. Listen to the promise of verse 33 of Jeremiah 31. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." This new covenant promised that God will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose hearts are turned toward him. It is a promise of peace and grace that will be observed by God throughout eternity. It promises that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and his death on the cross is the basis of the promise to transform lives and reconcile mankind to God. The new covenant was inaugurated by the coming of Jesus and laid out in full at the Last Supper. As in Luke 22:20, Jesus declares, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." It continues to be characterized in the heart of God's people by the internalization of his laws, by the indwelling and empowering of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the desire to obey him. The new covenant, originally given to Israel, includes a promise of fruitfulness, blessing, and a peaceful existence in the promised land. Those were natural and material things, at the same time, spiritual blessings. In Ezekiel 36:28, God says, "Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God." Don't you just cherish that thought? You will be my people, and I will be your God. He hasn't let us down yet. He is still our God, and we still need to be his people. Well, you've certainly heard Paul's admonishment to the church at Rome. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." This is a serious and sacred call for a personal commitment to Christ and dedication to living according to his teachings. But it doesn't stop there. Covenant renewal is also a communal act. It's a call for the church also to return to the foundational truths of the faith and to conduct itself in a manner worthy of the gospel. The sacraments, such as baptism and Holy Communion, just as Jesus said at the Last Supper, they serve as tangible expressions of this ongoing commitment. And the Apostle Paul also indicated that the apostles of the church functioned as messengers and ministers of the new covenant. For believers as individuals and for the church body, covenant renewal is a time to focus on rededicating our life, our talent, our time, and our treasure to the Lord. When we have our spiritual identity in Christ, both individually and corporately, our lives change. Attitudes change and actions change by his transformative power. Paul urged believers to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. As Christians, we're redefined and spiritually quickened by the Holy Spirit to develop a new mindset, a new viewpoint. We read in Romans 8:27, "He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit." So, where do you typically find your mind wandering to? That's something to think about, because the mind is the biggest area that the Holy Spirit has to work within for constant renewal. You know, our thoughts and our opinions and our attitudes are up and running 24/7, 365. And that's why we need to seek our wisdom in the inspired Word of God. There is beautiful advice in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 3, that says, when we study and meditate on God's Word day and night, and delight in the law of the Lord, we become firmly established like trees planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. It's apparent then that when we immerse our minds in spiritual truth, we grow, we're fruitful. That is a promise, that is covenant. Renewed in mind. Now, to be renewed in spirit, we're called to devote ourselves to submission and to service, just giving over of everything. Paul prayed for the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There again, we see the pattern of growth that comes from spending time daily in prayer and devotion, in praise and worship. By this, we are transformed and renewed in our internal nature, as our new self comes to know its creator and become like him. We are nurtured and urged to faithfulness by his faithfulness to us. When we energize our efforts to evangelism, there is an expansion of the soul. We find our hearts feeling fuller because we pray for and care for others, then the eyes of the soul are awakening. As we walk closely and constantly with God, we are then renewed in heart and soul, and we naturally seek a deeper relationship with him. You'll find another lovely psalm that invokes this thought. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. He'll help you keep covenant with him. Covenant renewal then is underscored as our minds develop greater depth of devotion and scriptural understanding, as our spirits are quickened to allegiance and awe, and as our hearts open to a true and trusting relationship with the heart of God. Remember King Josiah? He lived and died keeping the commands, testimonies, and statutes of the Lord, staying true to covenant. And we are called to do no less. We are chosen to enter and keep covenant, assured that God will never break his promise, and he will always preserve his people. Just as we read earlier today, Deuteronomy 7:9 explicitly tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is good, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Today, we focus on renewal of covenant with our Lord and Savior. So we examine our hearts, hearts that we have freely given to Christ. Let's be diligent in obedience of his holy laws and commands. Let's be fruitful. Let's be encouraged in devotion, discipleship, and dedication. Let's be committed to keeping our promise to him, to his glory, because he is steadfast in love, mercy, grace, and faithfulness to us.